Hi everyone, this is Julia Doherty from Green Umbrella, and today I have the wonderful Katie from Monkeytastic. Now, there's a reason why I didn't actually say your surname, because I can hardly pronounce it, so I would get it wrong, which I know I would do. So how do you pronounce your surname, Katie?
It's Di Stefano, Italian surname.
Di Stefano. Have you got an Italian background then, or obviously your husband?
No, completely no. I'm as Northampton as they come. It's my husband's name, so it's his side of the family, so I blame them.
So is he Italian?
His family is. Again, he's Northampton.
Okay.
But no, it's his family.
And can he cook?
Oh yeah, he can cook.
You've got to say that because he might be listening to this. Anyway. So let's just start off. First of all, explain to everybody what you do.
Okay. Quite simply, I make monkeys out of socks.
That's it. It's good. So Monkeytastic, and how long has it been going for?
It's been going since September, October time, 2013. My official company birthday is November, but I kind of started dabbling towards the end of the summer. I'd had my little boy earlier in that year, and you know, trying to keep yourself awake in the middle of the night, obviously, you know, feeds and whatever going on. I'm spending all my life on Pinterest and just plodding through creative stuff, because quite a creative minded person, and I saw these sock monkeys come up, because I was like looking at like little toys and things I could make or do, and I looked at them and I thought, do you know what, I could do that, I'm sure of it. So next thing you know, I'm down the shops buying tons of socks and components and stuff. And I made this monkey, and I'll be perfectly honest with you, it was absolutely dreadful. He loved it. And then I just made a few more. People saw them, people liked them, and they were like, oh, hang on a minute, this looks quite interesting. Yeah, we'd like one and what have you. So I then looked into it properly and realised that they're governed by toy safety laws, and therefore you have to be compliant, you have to get all your testing and to get the CE mark to be to allow them to be sold in this country. So I went through all the legal processes, set up a business, and the next thing you know, I think I've done over 500.
Wow.
I worked it out in there. I think really? I've done over 500 since 500 starting.
500 monkeys. That is just crazy. And you do small monkeys, big. If anyone has been to Green Umbrella, you'd have seen we've got Marvin the monkey, but we've done loads of other monkeys that you've done for us, where they go down an absolute storm at conferences and stuff like that. So from a business point of view, it just works really well. And you can even like embroider like logos, because that's what you've done for us. You've embroidered the logos onto the like the chest. Is it the chest or the belly? Sort of merges into one, really.
The front,
yes, that's well said. So, you know, if anyone is interested in having a monkey for their business, and yeah, so they're good little mascots, I think, from a corporate point of view, then brilliant. But you're saying, obviously, you're very creative and you spend a lot of time on Pinterest. Do you still spend a lot of time on Pinterest, or have you merged over to Instagram?
I personally spend a lot of time on Pinterest because I'm a complete obsessive over like nail varnish and makeup. That is my weakness, so I'm always looking for like new creative ideas of how to paint my nails and do my makeup and turn my hair silly colours, because I tend to do that on a weekly basis. I don't really use that so much for the craft side of things anymore, but I probably don't use Instagram as much as I should.
Okay.
I think, and I admit that from a business point of view, it's almost the forgotten one for me, which is strange, because what I'm creating is a visual product, and yet I'll be perfectly honest, I don't use it enough to my advantage.
Okay.
And it is that I really need to do a lot more, I would say, with the monkeys, is to really get on Instagram properly, I suppose.
So out of the three, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, which is your favourite?
Facebook,
okay.
The thing with the platforms is the fact that because each one's got a different audience, I mean, I'm on Twitter as well, but that tends to be more of a networking, and I'll get involved in local networking hours on there.
Yeah.
And again, I don't do a huge amount more than that. And that has led to business, it has led to leads and conversions and what have you, which is great. But Facebook, I think, due to the nature of the sharing and just having, dare I say, a lot of friends supporting me as well, because it's almost they can help me push the content out. I would say Facebook's where it's at, definitely, for me.
Excellent. Okay, so from a local business point of view, I know you do Northants Hour. You're always on Northants Hour. I tend to skip it every now and then. And then all I see is your posts as well, sort of in the feed afterwards, which is great. It's good to be active. But obviously you have a job that you work part-time 3 days a week, and you also do the theatre, and you have a little boy. I mean, how on earth do you keep up with it all and, juggling?
I don't know. It just seems to fit. Because as you say, I work 3 days a week in a digital marketing role, which naturally helps me run the business, because I've already got a starting point.
Yeah.
I've built my own website because I've already got the skills in place to take, I suppose, my business forward. It kind of comes a bit easier because it is what I do. But you're absolutely right. I freelance as a stage manager, so that can take me out for weeks at a time if there's a big show on, a big production at the local theatre or what have you. A little boy that keeps me entertained, but he loves the monkeys as well, to be honest, and he gets quite involved now. And he actually sat there just before Christmas when I was doing a lot of orders and said, "Can I help?" And I sat there with him, and I gave him a needle and thread, and he made a couple of little stitches, and he's beside himself then, he's helped.
Oh,
and
bless.
Every monkey gets hug tested at the end as well. He'll give everyone a hug before it's allowed to leave the house.
I love that.
The monkeys kind of fit in with everything I do because they're mobile. As silly as it sounds, I can take some to work. And in my lunch break of my day job, I can sit in the staff room and do a bit of sewing. I can take them to the theatre. If I've got a show that's, I've got some downtime, I can take them with me. So they kind of fit in around a lot of what I do.
So it actually just works really well. And I can't imagine you're the sort of person to sit there and watch telly all evening when there's other things to do. So that's cool. So you guest blog for Green Umbrella, and you've been doing that for a couple of years now.
I think probably about a year and a half,
something like that. So the sort of topics that you blog for us have been all about, obviously working from home or, different social media platforms, your journey as well. So how do you come up with ideas for what you're going to write for us? And it's like...
I've got a few ideas going forward because the sort of like from an industry point of view, the craft sector is a very interesting sector to be working in. And how mindsets are quite different. I feel mindsets in business are quite different to perhaps a corporate mindset.
Okay.
And I'm finding that very interesting, very sort of comparing going to work versus somebody who just works for themselves, and how things get, I suppose, a bit twisted in terms of running a business and how you feel you can or can't do stuff. So that's kind of my thoughts and focus, where I'd like to go next with it, really.
Okay, good. I mean, obviously, at the end of the day, as well, you work 3 days a week in, B2B sort of corporate world.
Yeah.
And then you do see both sides of the coin, so sort of pros and cons. I can imagine and mindsets of the individuals of those both sides. Actually, doing the transition, going from corporate to, working for yourself is actually quite tough. So, interesting.
Yeah, and also things like like the legislation that you have to follow, just to be able to produce a soft toy yourself. There's a lot of paperwork involved.
Okay.
And it's very scary. I mean, I'll be perfectly honest with you. When I first looked into it, I nearly didn't go for it because you sort of read all the implications of what you need to do to get the European directives and this, that, and the other, and just the testing process, and you have to obtain certificates for all your materials. It's not as easy as just going, "Here you go, here's a pair of socks, let me make something." There was a lot to it. And there were a couple of sleepless nights when I realised, wow, this is epic. But then thought about it, gave myself a bit of a kick and was like, right, I can do this. It is possible.
It's just step by step, just taking, you've got to do this, and then that leads on to that and that and that and that. But I can imagine the sense of achievement when you actually get that certificate to say...
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. Because you just think, I've done that, I've achieved this, and I can now, in effect, I'm operating on the same platform as any company that produces a toy.
Absolutely.
And quite daunting, but pretty cool at the same time,
Well, it's gone from a hobby to a proper business. A lot of people don't take that transition. It just stays as a hobby and they'll sell to friends and family and stuff like that. But, you know, you've taken it to the next level, which is, you know, is brilliant, absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. So. And you're quite right when you just touching on what you just said about the corporate side of things. I mean, last year, I was making more corporate monkeys than I was the sort of normal ones. Normal sales, if you understand what I mean. I had like them going out left, right, and centre. I just went through this phase in the middle of the summer. Every monkey was a corporate monkey, which is great.
That's where you want to be, isn't it? So
yeah, and I've got some contacts in Formula One, so I've got monkeys now that go around the world with teams. And wow. I mean, just check out my page for some of the photos. You know, Nico Rosberg's got them on top.
Wicked. Love it. Get in. I didn't know that. That's really, really good news. So
yeah, because Formula One's one of my big loves, and I'm just lucky enough to know somebody who goes out with one of the teams and, yeah, has done amazing. You know, people start with Vettel holding one of my monkeys. Is that's a hell of a lot for my page, I tell you.
Too right. Well, Nico, I mean, wasn't he going to retire, and then he just suddenly decided to come back?
Oh, no, that was Felipe Massa. Oh, I could go on for hours. Yeah, okay. Nico retired, and then they dropped a driver from another team into his place, which meant somebody came out of retirement who'd only retired last season.
crazy. Cool. Anyway, yeah, Katie, we need to finish up now, but just quickly tell everybody where can they connect with you, obviously your website or Twitter or your Facebook page, any URLs you want to share.
So my website is monkeytastic.co.uk. You can find me on Facebook, again, look for Monkeytastic. To be fair, you can find me Twitter, and then yes, Instagram, I'm on there as well. But all the links are you can go via my website, and all the links point you all to all the profiles and what have you. But yeah, pop on over, say hi, say that perhaps you heard from us this way, just so I know where you've come from. And you know, ever you need a monkey,
whenever you need them. Fantastic. And thank you so much for your awesome blogs. You know, they're one of our top hit blogs, so I really do appreciate it. And I'll see you soon. You take care.
Thank you very much, Julia. Cheers.
Take care. Bye-bye. Ta-da.